Okay, we're turning to the first epistle of John, chapter 5. We've completed chapter 4. And let me say, we really enjoyed last Sabbath, I forgot to mention that, how we were able to do a combined service with our brethren in the Yahad, or Elohim's Yahad. And Yahad means unity or union, Elohim's union. And today, we're going back to completing our first epistle of John. Last Sabbath, we digressed and did a teaching on knowing Elohim. So let me begin. Again, this is Brother Jackson Suffren, for those who might be on the line for the first time. I'm waiting for some of us to turn to the first epistle of John, chapter 5. Waiting for those of us that are not there to get there. Okay, and how I normally do this, dear brethren, is without notes. Because I call this series of teachings the evoking of Scripture. And we'll have others, but this may be my last one for a little while. And my but we will start with chapter 5. I had to read this chapter a number of times. Because the first time I've read it, I realized it was a summary. Before I even read it, it came to my mind that I should probably read this chapter more than once. And for some reason, and when I did, I read it and I realized it's a what John the Apostle John was doing was was summarizing many points. Strong points he made in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, and tying them, connecting them, and making a strong case for a point he wanted to make. And so that's what he's doing in chapter 5. I realized that. And so I thought I was going to do this in one day. But I realized I can't do this in one day because he made some very powerful points in chapter 5 that needs to be flushed out a little bit. So it'll probably take two more days to finish this, to finish the first epistle of John. So let me begin by reading it, and then we'll do as much as we can in a time frame of half an hour. We'll try to end whatever we can within half an hour. So let's begin the reading. And it says, everyone, 1 John, 1 Epistle of John, chapter 5, verses 1. Everyone who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah has been born of Elohim. And everyone who loves the Father loves whomever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and obey his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of Elohim, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Verse 4. For everyone who has been born of Elohim overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim? Verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Yeshua the anointed, Yeshua Mashiach, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of Elohim is greater. For this is the testimony of Elohim, that he has borne concerning his son. Let me read that again. I hesitated a bit. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of Elohim is greater. For this is the testimony of Elohim, that he has borne concerning his son. Whoever believes in the Son of Elohim has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe Elohim has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that Elohim has borne concerning his son. Verse 11. And this is the testimony that Elohim gave us, eternal life, and this life is in his son. Verse 12. Whoever has the son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of Elohim does not have life. 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of Elohim, that you may know that you have eternal life. 14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Verse 16, if anyone sees his brother commit a sin not leading to death, he shall ask of Elohim. Let me read that again. Verse 16. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and Elohim will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. Verse 17. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has, verse 18, we know that everyone who has been born of Elohim does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of Elohim protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from Elohim, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of Elohim has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Yeshua, Messiah. He is the true Elohim and eternal life. Verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Thank you, dear brethren. So I trust you can see why I said I could not finish this in one day. I hoped I would. But when I read this, when I was led to read it before, I talked about it. Because I was not led to read the other ones before I talked about it. I read them with you while I was going to share. But this time I was led to read it over, and I read it over. And even this morning, as I was waiting, getting ready to go, I read it again and again. So there's some powerful things in this, dear brothers and sisters. Lest I forget, let me say, today, if you can, after the service end, read it for yourself again. I'm saying to you as brethren, if we don't, this I can say before I even start talking, if we don't get there, almost everything else we could do today will be almost useless. So let's pay close attention to this. And I encourage you, if you have time, after this service, read it, meditate, make sense of it. So let's start off. I think I'll probably get through verse 5. Within, because there's so much involved here. Okay, here goes. So verse 1 of chapter 5 of the first epistle of John says, everyone who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah has been born of Elohim. And everyone who loves the Father loves whomever has been born of Elohim. Okay, so let's look at that. Everyone who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah has been born of Elohim. Those are big words. Who is the Messiah that you believe he is? You know, a lot of people, I'll use this word on purpose. They'll say Jesus Christ. Or some will even Yeshua the Messiah. And they don't even, well, who is the Messiah? And this is why this can take long. The Messiah was one prophesied to come in these scriptures that most of us are holding in our hands, that has been canonized. Yes. It was prophesied. It tells us what he would do. Isaiah tells us he's coming to set the captives free. Others said he was coming to magnify the Lord, the law, and sanctify the sons of Levi. Other prophets tells us that he would do amazing miracles. Other prophecies tell us that he would die for us. Other prophecies tell us that he would receive a body to do the will of Elohim, for Elohim did not desire sacrifices and offerings. That he would die for us. That he would rise again. That his body would not suffer corruption. Whose body has not suffered corruption who lived on this earth other than Enoch and Elijah? All others have. The one who said those very words, David, the king and prophet David, said those words. But yet he died. He did see corruption. He was speaking of the Messiah. And not only through these canonized scriptures, through the whole scriptures that we've come to understand, like the book of Enoch. Oh my goodness. Makes it very clear about the Son of Man, the one who was hidden, the one who would come, the one whose appearance was like one of the holy ones, who was with the Father, the one through him all things were made, the one who was before all created things, the one, the book of Enoch makes that very clear. That is who the Messiah is. And of course, there are the anti-Messiahs that took out the book of Enoch because they didn't want the people to understand the scriptures that talk about this Son of Man very clearly. And they say, who is this Son of Man? They'll say, there is no Son of Man. They'll say, there is no Son of Elohim. But no, the scripture says there is a Son of Man, a Son of, this is whoever believed that Yeshua, remember John's context. He was speaking many, many years ago. He saw the Messiah. The one he's talking about lived during the lifetime of those people that he was writing to. And he's telling to them who are alive back then, whoever believes that Yeshua was this one, this great one, who was before all creation, whoever believes that human, that flesh and blood that you saw, that you heard of, that was crucified, that did the miracles, that walked on the water, that turned the water to wine, that preached of the Malkut HaShamayim, the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of men, not a kingdom, not a government, not a people led by rabbis, but a people led by Elohim and Elohim alone, and who appoints spirit-led people, not people that study and study and know the text, know the letter of the law, but don't have the spirit to guide them in its performing. No. He preached that kingdom. Do you believe him? Or do you believe men? Are you going to learn to go to men who have studied and who will, by their opinions, tell you what to do concerning the law? Who will tell you, oh, this one was caught in adultery. We need to stone him, stone her. What do you say? Or they will tell you, look, look at this coin. Should we give tribute to Caesar or not? They will use their human intelligence, their limited ideas, and want to be your rabbis, want to be your leaders. Yeshua said, no, the kingdom is of heaven. And the knowledge is by the Spirit of truth that will come upon you from heaven, not from much study, but for the love of the truth, for the love of Elohim. And that Spirit will come upon you and tell you, give you that perfect discernment from above, from the one who really knows all things, from the one who knows, does this one really deserve to be stoned? What are the situations in her life? And are those who are claiming, who want to stone her, are they just judges who have the right to do that? How dare you, oh sinner, condemn one to death when you too are deserved of death? Oh, the wonderful Yeshua, full of the Spirit, who did not have the spirit of a man, but the spirit of Elohim only. He can discern. Do you believe? And we have the witness. How can we have the witness? By doing what the rabbis were telling people to do? By doing what they were doing, just study, study, study? No, we have to study, pray, watch, and pray. Not just watch and pray for what's wrong. We have to pray for what's right and good. Pray for the works of Elohim. For all that which is good, all that which benefits without harming, is from Elohim. And when we could discern what's good, then we could have that testimony. Then we could know and say, truly, Yeshua is the Messiah. Not just because I've read it or heard it, but because I've experienced it. What happened when that wonderful daughter of Zion, that Samaritan woman, went and preached to them? She said, oh, of a surety you are a prophet. And she went and told. And they believed her, and they said, and when they came, said, we don't just believe because you told us, but we believe he is that prophet. Do you understand why we must not do what rabbinical Judaism, what Judaism teaches us? Judaism, I dare tell you, dear brethren, is not the faith of Abraham. It's another. The faith of Abraham is tied to the kingdom of heaven, is tied to the spirit of Elohim dwelling in us. And Yeshua came to manifest that and show us the kingdom of heaven. And that's why he says, the kingdom of heaven is in your midst. Who was he? He was speaking. He was speaking to those who were blaspheming. So obviously he did not mean them, because he was there in the king, the in their midst. He was the king of the kingdom. And so he says, the kingdom of heaven is in your midst. If by the Spirit, by the finger of Elohim, I cast out demons, he said. Very good. So, brethren, this is what it's talking about. Everyone that believes Yeshua is the Messiah has been born of Elohim. And everyone, and the second verse says, for and everyone who loves the Father loves whomever has been born of him. Everyone who loves the Father must everyone who loves the Father loves whomever has been born of him. Whatever is good, whatever is perfect, whatever benefits without harming the innocent is from Elohim. That's how you know it. If something claims to be good and is harming the innocent, it cannot be good. If anything claims to be from Elohim and does not benefit, it cannot be good. It must be both. It must be both beneficial and never, ever harms the innocent. Everyone who loves the Father, loves whomever has been born of Elohim. We can understand who's been born of Elohim by looking at their works. And only one met that, and that was Yeshua. And we should know. That's how we recognize who he is. He was perfect. He did that which was just and good and beneficial and harmed no one. He did not harm, even touch a bruised reed or smoking flax. He did not quench. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, though those are born of, when we love Elohim and obey his commandments. When we break the Sabbath, we don't love those that are born by Elohim. When we compromise any commandment, we don't. Because by our actions, we tempt others to do like us. And I speak of myself. There are many times I've done things which were not loving. And I could be a bad example for others. Truly, the love of Elohim is not perfected in me. But I'm crying day and night, just as our sister said. He is merciful. And we have to get on, understand and be in spirit and truth and know how much more we need his mercy. Because whenever we do something, whenever we fail, we're not being an example to others. We're not being loving to our brothers and sisters when we fail. But he is merciful on us, not wanting us to fail. And that's why we need to understand, we all need to cry out for his Holy Spirit to truly dwell in us so that we can overcome the world, as we will read about later on. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim when we love Elohim and obey his commandments. So we love him sometimes. We love our brothers and sisters sometimes, and we must be honest. Sometimes we don't, not by Elohim standards, maybe by human standards. Oh, you're such a loving person. But what does Elohim say? We have to look at his word. And don't despair, as our sister says, he knows our frame. But that's why we must never boast. Like the wonderful Apostle Paul says, may I never boast of anything. Right? Nay, I never boast of anything. So, except we boast of Elohim, not of ourselves, if we're going to verse. So by this we know that we love the children of Elohim when we love Elohim and obey his commandments. For this is the love of Elohim, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says the wonderful Yeshua. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is a yoke? We must make sure we understand. The yoke is that device that farmers or land tillers would put on the oxen to guide them. So as they're working on the ground to plant their seeds. As they're tilling the ground, that yoke. Yeshua says his yoke is easy. How is it easy? Because it's by the Spirit. He did not call us to serve by our own strengths. He wants us to come to the point to cry for the Spirit. We need to cry out, keep crying out that we'll have the Spirit so that, and then we'll see how, we're doing this by his yoke. It's just like one person trying to till acres and acres of land with a little spoon in his or her hand. Imagine trying to do that before harvest time comes. You're trying to till the ground with a little spoon in your hand. And a beneficent person here. I have a huge truck for you that'll do what you're trying to do in about a day. So then that yoke becomes easy. Wow, I like that. Give me that truck. So Yeshua, whose yoke is of the Spirit, says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen? So, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of Elohim overcomes the world. Born of the Spirit. born of Elohim, not born of Torah study, not born of just study. Study has its part, but that study must do its work through the Spirit. Because Elohim doesn't want us to be idle. We have our parts to do, but can the blind study the Torah? No. Is the blind useless to Elohim? Of course not, because the Spirit will tell the blind what to do. How about the mute and the blind? Are the mute and the blind useless? Can they study Torah? They can't hear. They can't see. Oh, brothers, the Spirit will lead them. So let's not have any confidence in the flesh. Yes, we can study, and so Elohim gives us that responsibility, but that's not where it ends. We must study and make sure we receive the Holy Spirit so we could rightfully understand what we need to do. Let's not do it the way the ancient rabbis did. Moses didn't do it that way. Did Moses write the law because he was studying? He didn't even know it. He received it from the Spirit. And the Logos told him what to write down. So why do we think we're going to have it by just study? No, doesn't. Because all the Torah does is tell us what to do and what not to do. Doesn't enable us to do it. It is the Spirit that quickens and gives life. For everyone, verse 4, for everyone who has been born of Elohim overcomes the world. And that's why many people study and cannot overcome the world. And some of them, through much study of the Torah, they even abandon Yeshua or relegate him to some misconception, such as those who are following the teaching of the Ebionites, who deny the Yeshua who he is. How shameful it is. Or those who would say, oh, who abandon Yeshua altogether, New Covenant altogether, and just say, let's go to this observance of Torah. Okay. When forbid their child curses, I hope, you know, they're ready to be the first to cast a stone on that child, because that's what the Torah demands. When they commit adultery, I hope they're ready to accept their just punishments. When they slip and make a mistake on the Sabbath, I hope they're ready to accept the consequences of that Torah and whatever else the consequences are. Because what they're doing is they don't understand. They've been blinded because they don't understand. They're trying to achieve something, and they're abandoning the one who gave them the grace to even consider it. Many of these people, I don't believe, have considered what the Torah says. I hope they do. Because the consequences of disobedience are great. And when we have mere men and not Yeshua, when we have just men and sometimes women who are studying the Torah, and you're going to have a society, you want to have a society led by Torah, and you want people who don't have the Spirit, who just study and will give you their opinion as they did concerning that woman who was caught in adultery, did not have the Spirit to discern her situations and were unjust men about to cast stone. Oh my goodness. And yeah, where is the man? Where was the man? Can you commit adultery? Physical adultery by yourself? Where was the man who needed the stoning? Unjust men who want to condemn the innocent. Unjust people who are looking for opportunity for the Sanhedrin to be set up. As one said, I can't wait till the Sanhedrin is set up so I could stone women who commit adultery. Yes, I've heard that. I've seen that. That's the mindset. I don't make the Torah into idolatry, because the Torah is from Elohim. The Torah without Elohim becomes a device that can be used for evil. The Torah must be used through the power of the Spirit, and only in the hands of those who are by the power of the Spirit, such as, that's why Elohim set up in the times of Moses, when the kingdom was with Israel. The kingdom is no longer with that nation. How could the kingdom be with Israel? Well, in Tel Aviv, there's all sorts of evil going on. Outright things that are contrary to the ways of Elohim, abominations. The Torah speaks of those things as being abominations. How could Elohim be there? No. All that is grave, grave error. And those people that are turning to that mindset of turning to trying to return to Israel and trying to return to Torah without Yeshua, they're just setting themselves up for terrible failure and blasphemy against the very one they claim they want to serve. We need to pray for so many that are turning away from Yeshua, from believing that Yeshua is the anointed one, the Moshiach. And brethren, this is a battle we must have as a congregation of Elohim. We must pray that Elohim will enable us, give us the wisdom to combat the spirit of anti-Messiah that is prevailing so much. So much, brethren. That's what we need to focus on. We need to contend for the faith that was once delivered, brethren. Don't be sidetracked by the evil that's going on. Elohim will keep us safe. Let's serve him by proclaiming that this is eternal life. That knowing the Father and his Son Yeshua, whom he has sent, this is eternal life. Because I tell you the truth, the observing the Torah without spirit-led beings, spirit-filled beings, will create gross injustice. That's what it will. That's what it will do. Verse 5, I will end here. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim? The one who truly believes the Son is of Elohim. We keep the Sabbath holy. We don't keep it holy and then ask someone else to defile it for us. That is unjust. How can that be good? How can we tell somebody, get a Gentile to a non-Sabbath keeper to turn off switches for us, we're causing them to sin. How is that good? Because that which is good does not harm the innocent. So that's to show you the injustice in all of this. Because Yeshua said that the Gentile who loves him should keep the Sabbath. So how are we being a light if we would expect a non-commandment keeper, oh, I left the light on, please come and turn off the light for me? That's unacceptable. For Elohim said, thus says my salvation is near. And he says that the Gentiles who would draw near and would be his servants, let them keep the Sabbath. All these injustices, that's unclean to Elohim. But those of us who know Yeshua, we do overcome the world. We would never ask someone to turn off the lights for us. We would never ask someone to do something that we ourselves would not do. Elohim would never ask someone to do something he himself would not do. How does he ask us to make sacrifices when he himself would not be willing to make a sacrifice? Elohim was willing to make a sacrifice. We did not ask to be created. He chose to create us. And when we sin, he has a plan for us. That's what the sacrifices were all about. Why would he emphasize Zabiim so much before his son came? Every holy day, every Sabbath, every single day, everything needed a sacrifice. Everything needed a sacrifice for sin. And yet he says sin and sacrifices and offerings he does not desire. What does that tell us? Then why would a most holy, great, infinite, the first reality, a being whose intellect is so high, a being who is so pure, why then would he ask for sacrifices? Were it not that it had a greater purpose than what was present? We who believe in Yeshua believe and know that this great being gave the Zabiim, gave the sacrifices, because he knew the solution was in his son who came from him. not flesh and blood, who came from him, who was not born of flesh, but born of the spirit, but was given a body made for him to fulfill his will, for he did not delight in sacrifices. And that son of Elohim would die, would be murdered. It's not that Elohim wanted him to be murdered. Elohim speaks, proclaims the end from the beginning. And so he knows. He plans. He's a master project manager. He knows what's going to happen. And so he sets the solutions. And the greatest solution needed was the changing of man to be made into his image by his spirit. And so he sent his son to teach that very thing, knowing that they would murder him. And so he took that opportunity that source of life should overcome death. You want to murder him? Okay, I will overcome you. He will not raise his voice against you to defend himself. But in killing him, he will overcome you. Because in him was the life and light. And his life is everlasting life. And his life will conquer death, will demolish death. Elohim the Most High knows. But those who are blinded in the flesh, they can't see. And so they mock Yeshua. What righteousness is this? If you are righteous, why do you mock Yeshua? Why? He never told anyone to break the Torah, but told everyone to keep the Torah. He says, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will pass from the Torah. Why do some not believe he is that prophet when he did so great miracles without ever turning anyone from keeping the Torah? He told everyone. A matter of fact, he told, unless your righteousness exceed those of the scribes and Pharisees, unless your righteousness exceed those of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Where did Yeshua ever tell anyone not to keep the Torah? Because he says Moses spoke of the prophet that he would come from your own brothers like me. And you must hear him. Did Moses just teach words without signs? No. Did Elohim commit him to teach without signs? No. The Israelites did not just believe mere words. They believed Moses through the wonders that he did, that Elohim did through him. And so it is through his son. But his son never taught anyone to turn from the Torah. He told everyone to keep the Torah. And more so than even the scribes and Pharisees. So how does everyone dare say he was not the Messiah? The only thing he did was proclaimed that he was the son of Elohim. And he made his point clear. If Elohim called those who were not Elohim, Elohim, why do you condemn the son of man who says, I am the son of Elohim? Why? Why was he stoned? Why did they try to stone him for this? Why did they kill him for doing that? He did not deserve that. He said nothing wrong. Hence, your very words, those of you who speak against Yeshua, if you don't repent, and of course I'm not speaking to my brothers here, I'm speaking to the anti-messiahs, to those who have turned away from believing the uniquely born son. Have you ever experienced Yeshua? Maybe it's because you've never really experienced, no one can experience Yeshua and turn from him unless you're wicked. How can I turn from Yeshua because of the words of a mere man, teacher, fleshy, sinful man, when I cry to Elohim in the name of his son Yeshua to heal, and he heals? But of course they say, oh, don't pay attention to the miracles, because, you know, they mince what the Torah says. I'm going to try to end, but this is important for me to get out. They mince what Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy, as if Moses said, don't pay attention to those who do miracles. Moses did not say that. Moses said, don't pay attention to those who do miracles if they turn you from the law of Elohim. Why? For Elohim is testing you. But he said initially, if someone comes to you and makes a prophecy and the prophecy does not happen, don't pay any attention to him. He qualifies what he says. But he says, then you know I've not sent him. But Yeshua, everything Yeshua did miracles. Yeshua did prophecies. And they came to pass. So how do you deny that? Because he said he was the son of Elohim. He never out of his mouth said, I am Elohim. I'm not going to cover this, but he himself said, I am the son of Elohim. What sin was that? How did he turn away from the Torah? When he called Israel also his son, his servant. Was Israel only his servant? He even called Cyrus, a Gentile, his servant. So those who are trying to say, no, Yeshua was not the servant, was only Israel. That's twisting the reality. For till this day, about 2000 years ago, I wasn't there to start counting, but all who know better than I do, at least intellectually, say it was about 2000 years ago. He said the temple would be destroyed. Not one stone would be left upon another. That temple has been destroyed for over 2000 years. For about 2,000 years, according to the scholars. Have we seen that in the Torah, in the Tanakh, where Elohim punishes Israel for that length of time and does not restore them? No! Where is the restoration? In Israel today, there's so much sin. So much sin. So don't be fooled, dear brethren, you who are being deceived by those who are anti-messiahs trying to tell you to just come back to Torah. You're being set up for failure. This is the spirit of anti-Messiah. They have the right, yes. Every human being has the right to believe what they choose to believe. But know the consequences. I'm just saying to those of you who love the truth, don't be deceived by falsehood. Just look at the evidence. All the Gentiles seek after him and are blessed. And many of them have just societies because of the teachings of Yeshua when done right. Yes, we know there are some that have taught the teachings of Messiah in the guise of quote unquote Christianity and have done a lot of evils. So has every other criminal taken that which is good and used it for evil. Elohim created all things good in the garden, but the evil one used it for evil. You could take a stone and build an altar for Elohim, or you could take a stone and murder as the evil Cain did. So just because evil people took the Most High's truth, the blessed name of his son, and murdered in his name, hid behind that great name to do evil. That's what happened. That has nothing to do with Yeshua, has nothing to do with the truth. Because people have taken the Torah and done evil with it. Have they not? Is the Torah at fault? Of course not. So Yeshua is not to be blamed for what evil people do. We're smarter than this. And Elohim expects far more than these horrible pretenses of reasoning as to why we should not believe in Yeshua. That's a pit from hell. Because there are doctors who do evil. Are doctors supposed to be evil? No. Most doctors try their best to do what's good. There are teachers that teach to educate. There are teachers that take that opportunity of that title of being a teacher to do evil. There are presidents that have used their office to do good, and there are presidents who have used it to do evil. Hear what the Spirit says, and this I do not lie, for my heart burns as I say this, my soul, and I say this, Yeshua is the Messiah, because the Scriptures testify to it. Don't listen to a mere sinful man who will tell you otherwise, because whatever Elohim does, he does with signs and wonders and proves it, and Yeshua did that. Yeshua did signs and wonders. Yeshua taught the truth. Yeshua taught a high love for Elohim. He says, not only should you not physically commit adultery, you should not even think of it. Not only should you not commit murder, you should not even think of it. Do you not understand that he has sanctified the law? And he has magnified the law and did with it what Elohim wished? How do you turn from him? You have abandoned him. That's a shame. For he has only done only good. And those who speak against him, they talk about the Toledot. Look at it. They insult him. Mock him till this very day. Speak evil of him. I appreciate the Karaites. They don't do that. That I do. They may not all believe, but they don't do that. They look at the scriptures and can see that Yeshua was a just man. And I pray for the Karaites and for all righteous people to come to the knowledge of the truth. I understand you may not believe in him, but why do you insult him? Why? 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 That's wrong and that's evil. Oh, brothers, my beloved brothers, you who are here on the phone with me, I'm sorry. I will end here. But my heart just burned as I think about all of this. Let's contend for the faith that was once delivered once and for all to the saints, brethren. I end here, okay? Thank you for bearing the extra time that I spent, Emmet.